All right, so today we're going to tackle Acts chapter 2 and look at the day of Pentecost. And many people in Christianity call the day of Pentecost the birthday of the church, the body of Christ, the start of the church. But as we begin to study and as we study Scripture, we need to study it and see if that is true. We're going to see what happened on the amazing day of Acts chapter 2. But we'll also learn why the body of Christ, the church, did not start in Acts chapter 2. We'll find important reasons from Scripture showing that Acts chapter 2 was about Israel and God's prophecies. Not about the secret, not about the mystery, not about the age of grace. And we're going to see in Acts chapter 2 that there's no Gentiles here in Acts chapter 2 either. So when we begin in verse 1, he says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord." They were in one place. So again, the day of Pentecost is a Jewish feast day, and it's held 50 days after Passover. The name Pentecost comes from the word 50. It was one of the seven yearly feasts of Israel. You can go back to Leviticus chapter 23 and read about it. On this day, Jerusalem was filled with Jewish worshipers from many lands. They were there to celebrate the feast. And Jesus' disciples were together waiting as he had instructed in Acts chapter 1 verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me." They were waiting for this day. They were waiting for the Spirit to come upon them. Verse 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." So you can imagine them sitting in a room when out of nowhere you hear a loud whooshing sound, a powerful wind storm. But it's not a wind storm. It's not a normal wind. It's coming from heaven, not from outside. And here is where God's Spirit is announcing his arrival. That sound was so strong that it filled the entire place. It got everyone's attention. And God uses a loud wind-like sound to signal that something big is about to happen. Verse 3. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." After the sound, God gave another miraculous sign. And it looked like a flame. A fire appeared and came to rest on each disciple's head. You know, I don't know exactly what that looked like, what that pictured like. I can see a cartoon with the dancing little flame above their head. I'm not sure. But a little flickering flame above each person. The fire did not burn them. It was a visible sign of God's presence. Verse 4, he continues on. "And they were filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And here's the climax of the moment. The Holy Spirit, before the Apostle Paul, before the age of grace, the Holy Spirit came and went. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them and it filled each believer, just as God had promised. God's Spirit came to empower them. And immediately they began to speak in other tongues. And this tongues can go all the way back to the Tower of Babel as well. Again, everybody spoke in one language and everybody understood until they began to build the Tower of Babel. And when they began to build that Tower of Babel, he made them all speak in their different language. Tongues is never gibberish. Tongues is never just a bunch of words. Tongues was always a language. And here in Acts chapter 1, 4, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they all spoke in tongues, understanding their language. So we see here in verses 1 through 4, the disciples are together on a Jewish holy day. There's that roaring heavenly sound, visible flames of fire, and they all start to praise God in various languages. All those believers were filled with the Spirit. They were Jews, Jewish converts, Jesus' core disciples. The broader group of 120 were all followers of Jesus from among the Jews. The group of believers is Jewish. Look at Acts chapter 2, 5. And here we see, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. They were the faithful Jewish people who had traveled from afar, many nations to be here. They spoke many different languages, but they were all ethnically Jewish or converts to Judaism. It says they were dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men out of every nation under heaven. They were Jews from all over the world. And we can see that there were no Gentiles are here. It's a very key detail to understand Scripture and understand the book of Acts. To me, it's a big international conference in Jerusalem, but all the attendees all share the same faith and heritage, and it's Judaism. They differ in language and culture because they come from all over the place. We'll see here in a minute all the different places they come from. Verse 6, now when this noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. This is where the tongues comes into play. Tongues is a language they're speaking. And they're confused now because everybody can understand one another. Somebody's speaking Spanish. Somebody's speaking French. Somebody's speaking Portuguese. And we all understand in our own language. Everybody rushes towards the commotion. A large crowd gathers around the house where the disciples were. And they see what's going on. Verse 7 and 8. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear it we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? The crowd knew the disciples were Galileans from their accent, maybe from their look, from what they were doing. Galilee was a region in Israel. And they were generally not known for being world travelers or even language experts. And you can just picture this time. It'd be like me trying to speak Spanish. My wife makes fun of me all the time because I can't speak Spanish to save my life. Again, it would be like them being able to speak and all of a sudden understanding everything that they can do. They realized a miracle is happening. They realized the Holy Spirit came upon them. That everybody's speaking dozens of world languages with zero training. It's a miracle. It's amazing. Verses 9 through 11. Here's where we have everybody. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Here's where Luke, he's the author of Acts, lists some of the places where these Jews had come from. And we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. It's a long list of nations. It shows how far the Jewish people were scattered across the world. It says in verse 5, every nation under heaven. You got the Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia. These are regions east of Israel. Maybe what today is Iran and Iraq. Judea is the area around Jerusalem. It's the local folks. You got Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pamphylia. These are regions in Asia Minor or modern Turkey today. You got Egypt and Libya and Cyrene, and that's North Africa. Visitors from Rome, that's in Europe, Italy. People from Arabian desert regions. You got north, south, east, and west. Jews had come from all directions for this conference because they knew prophecy. They knew what was about to come. They were prepared. But we see that it's all Jews. Even that word proselytes in the prophetic program before the salvation of the Apostle Paul, for you to be saved, you had to become a Jew. And here we have proselytes, which means it's a Gentile that was converted to Judaism. Again, they all get together. They all get together for this conference. and they declare that Jesus is the Messiah. They see that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And then later on next week, or actually a couple weeks down the road, we're going to look back at Joel chapter 2, where God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And this is what Peter begins to prophesy here in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 21. He says, this is which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The most important part of Scripture, or understanding Scripture, is between prophecy and mystery. Prophecy is a foretelling. Acts chapter 2, we still have a foretelling coming true. It's part of the prophetic program. It's part of the nation of Israel. It's part of what is happening. And when we get over to the Apostle Paul, we see a mystery program, a secret that was revealed only to the Apostle Paul. So if you can begin to divide between prophecy and mystery, you can begin to understand Scripture so much better. He ends here in verse 12 and 13, and he says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. Again, they were all amazed. It was a supernatural event. They're all perplexed. They're all confused. And they say, what does this mean? What's going on here? God was doing something significant. And the people can tell it has meaning. Again, Acts chapter 2, verse 14 on, Peter's going to explain to them what's going on. But at this point, they're confused and asking. And other people saying they're full of new wine. Some in the crowd began to mock them and was shocked about them. So we see what is happening. We see the events that are going on here. So the first question I have today is this the start of the church, the body of Christ? And so many people want to start the church, the body of Christ, in Acts chapter 2. And I think we need to understand that it cannot start here. And when we talk about the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul is the only one that ever uses that verbiage to say, again, we are saved into this body, into Jew and Gentile, into one body. And that's what he's talking about. But we see in Acts chapter 2, first of all, Pentecost was a Jewish feast day. It's fulfilling Jewish prophecies. The events of Acts chapter 2 took place on a Jewish holy day, which is Pentecost. They were obeying the law by being in Jerusalem for the feast day. Again, we already talked about it, but it's a fulfillment of God's prophetic program. And when you can begin to see the difference between prophecy and mystery, you begin to understand prophecy is for the nation of Israel. The mystery, the secret, the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God is for the body, for you and I. You can jump over to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at that real quick just so you can see. Ephesians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is the only one to ever talk about a secret program, the mystery revealed only to him, which is many things. The rapture, we're seated in the heavenlies, spiritual blessings, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation. But Ephesians 3, 5, and 6, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7 says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So again, we see the 12, Acts chapter 2, that is the nation of Israel. That is still the nation of Israel program. The Apostle Paul reveals a secret message later on. Who in Acts chapter 2 are we talking to? It tells us time and time again, Jews, proselytes. Again, in verse 22, ye men of Israel. All the way through the book of Acts chapter 2, he is talking to the Jews. He's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to you men of Israel. Nothing has changed from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do not go, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is what the 12 were called to do, and that's what they are still doing. There were no Gentile nations invited or even included in this event. How could this be the body, Jew and Gentile being one, if we still have a division and proselytes and Jews here at this time? Another reason here in Acts chapter 2, and we'll dive into it later, but the message and offer here in Acts chapter 2 is still for the kingdom program. Not about the body, not about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they are still looking for that kingdom program. The message here is centered that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, him being raised from the dead was still that power. But even in Acts chapter 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. It says nothing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, Peter gets onto them. He scolds them for it. But again, when he says, what do we do? He tells them to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That is the Great Commission. That ties back to the gospel. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. The message of repentance, the water baptism, is the same message from John the Baptist. It's a continuation. Jesus preached to Israel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Peter is calling the nation to turn back to God and acknowledge who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Son of God. So we still have that Israel's prophetic hope. The Jewish practices still continue here in Acts chapter 2. After Pentecost, the believers in Jerusalem continue to practice things that were part of Israel's way of life under law. Acts 2:46, they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They broke bread house to house. Again, they're still doing the Jewish traditions. They're still doing the Jewish laws. Until the Apostle Paul, we see no law being diminished or taken away. When the Apostle Paul comes on the scene, then we start talking away about getting rid of the law. Here in Acts chapter 2, we do not see an end to a dispensation or a beginning to a new dispensation. When you talk about the word dispensation, when you look into that Greek word, it's oikonomia, which means a household of rules or a household of law. Again, the easiest way I always interpret it, my kids have different rules than another people's house. And as you go through the Word of God, dispensations change throughout time and throughout it. Here in Acts chapter 2, nothing has changed. It's still the same thing going on. There's no end. There's no beginning. Peter still is talking to the nation of Israel, telling them to repent and be baptized. Again, later on, the Apostle Paul says there's no need for water baptism. Acts chapter 2 is all about Israel. It's all about prophecy. It has nothing to do with the body of Christ. The supernatural events at Pentecost were a clear fulfillment of God's prophetic program to Israel. The participants were Israelites. They were believers, but they were Jewish. The audience was the nation of Israel. The message is still rooted in Israel's scriptures and that kingdom promise. We have to understand this to understand scripture. I've used that phrase quite a few times, the body of Christ or the church. Again, I want you to understand, what do we mean by that? And that body of Christ is a metaphor for the church today. All true believers in Jesus Christ in this present age, if you put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are in the body. Jesus is the head. All believers are parts of the body connected to him. It means every person, whether you're Jew or Gentile, in the age of grace, are in the body. The nation of Israel had a different program, different time period, different scene. And it's that kingdom program. the 12 disciples sitting on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes, that's different than the body that we're talking about that starts later on. Look at Galatians chapter 3, just so we can see this as well. He said it in Ephesians there, but we'll go to Galatians chapter 3, 27 and 28. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Again, we're talking about a Holy Spirit's baptism. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Here in Acts chapter 2, we have the nation of Israel. If we wanted to be a part of it, we had to become a proselyte and follow the Jewish laws and follow everything that's going on. But over here in Galatians chapter 3, after the Apostle Paul is saved, after he has revealed the mystery, after he's revealed the dispensation of the grace of God, we see a brand new revelation, and it was part of what Paul calls the mystery, a secret that was not made known in other ages until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. So you may say, well, when did the church start? We're going to get there, but I will put in real quick just to not hang you on. We know it did not start in Acts chapter 2. There's no way. It's impossible. It's not an option. To me, the evidence from Scripture, the evidence of studying mid-Acts dispensationalism, I feel it starts in Acts chapter 9. When we get up there, we'll see the saving of Saul. Saul of Tarsus, he's blinded on the road to Damascus. Saul was a Jew. He is a Pharisee who was a fierce enemy of the Jesus followers. He was actually leading the persecution against the Jewish believers. He's not a part of the Pentecost group. Instead, he wanted to jail anybody that believed in Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, to arrest Christians, that's what he's going to do, and get rid of them, or the Jewish people, the risen Jesus appeared to him in a blinding light from heaven. Saul fell to the ground and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. He was struck blind for 3 days until Ananias, sent by the Lord, came to him. To me, Jesus didn't just save Saul. He also chose him for a special mission. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. So again, Acts chapter 9, he's blinded. He's saved. Acts chapter 9, this is the very first time that things begin to change. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So in Acts chapter 2, it's nation of Israel. It's Jews. It's devout Jews. It's proselytes. Here, the Apostle Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. He says, go to the Gentiles. This is when the body begins. This is when the dispensation of the grace of God begins. This is where it is. You can read Ephesians chapter 3 this afternoon, 1 through 9, and see the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Look at Colossians 1, 24 through 27. Colossians 1, start with 25. Again, it says, whereof I am made a minister. The Apostle Paul is saying this. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. This had to happen to complete the word of God. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Again, there's a secret. Acts chapter 2, they did not have this secret. They didn't know what it was because it was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Acts chapter 9 is a pivotal chapter, and when we get there, it's going to be fun, but it's when things begin to change from law to grace. From repent and be baptized for the remission of sins to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is for salvation. If you put the body of Christ starting in Acts chapter 2, it begins to create confusion. People want to water baptize. People want to sell all that they have. Go to Acts chapter 5 and it begins talking about selling all that you have. The body of Christ. If it's a secret that was revealed only to the Apostle Paul, how is it even possible to start in Acts chapter 2? It's not. Yes, there was a church there. It was the Nation of Israel church. It was the church that Peter, that he was building his church upon. It was his. So the body of Christ is the church today. All who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter where you put your money. It doesn't matter what you do. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are inside that body. There could be somebody that's inside that body that has never set foot in a church. The church has nothing to do with it. But that body began in Acts chapter 9. The Apostle Paul was blinded. He's doing something new. Israel as a nation in Acts chapter 7 and 8 reject God the Holy Spirit for the final straw. Acts chapter 9 is the beginning of the church. So here in Acts chapter 2 we see the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It was an event that was filled with meaning for the nation of Israel. It was the fulfillment of prophecy God made to Israel about pouring out His Spirit. It's still prophecy. It's still a foretelling. All this knew they were coming. That's why they were together ready for the kingdom to be set up. We learned what the body of Christ is. We identified the door opening with salvation and commissioning of Paul in Acts chapter 9. That is the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God. And you may say, well, why does all this matter? When we can begin to rightly divide, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't have every single answer. I don't have every single... I hope to goodness that I'm preaching as most accurate as possible. But I truly believe there is a division that we have to understand. And it's not between the Old and the New Testament. It's between prophecy and mystery. Yes, we can dissect it more and talk about dispensationalism and talk about the seven dispensations. But most importantly is that division between prophecy and mystery. In Acts chapter 2, it's still a prophetic program. It's still dealing with the nation of Israel until we get to the Apostle Paul that revealed that secret message. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Scripture. We thank You that when we take it word for word, it speaks truth to us, Lord. We just thank You that we can understand a lot of it, Lord. We just thank You that through Your Spirit, through Your power, but most importantly, yes, we don't have to understand every single verse in the Bible. We don't have to understand everything about it, and I never will. But we have to understand that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have salvation. Repent and be baptized was for the nation of Israel. Animal sacrifices, circumcision, all that is for them. The mystery, the age of grace, the dispensation of the grace of God, that through Your Son, You are willing to send Your Son to pay for my sins, to pay for our sins, to pay for all the world's sins. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in that, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith is taking God at His word and saying, yes, Lord, I believe this is true. Sanctification and learning and growing is a never-ending process, and we will learn something new each and every day when we open up the Bible. But we must understand salvation, and I pray that each and every one of us in this room understand that. And we pray in Your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.